Welcome everybody to New Hope this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, welcome. We're glad you're here. It's always nice to see new faces come in. And, as Phil said, or as Joe said earlier, please silence your cell phones. And just as a reminder, to give them a little credit there, but... I just want to thank you for being here. When you came through the door, some of you may had some ideas what church really is. Maybe those that have never been here, you had an idea what church really is. But what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to leave all your preconceived ideas outside the building. And I'm going to ask you to come in and sit and listen to the Word of God and see where you fit in God's perfect plan. Now, it'll take me a few minutes to get going here, but once I get going, I'm good. But find your place. You know, sometimes when you're in a strange place, it feels strange to you. You don't know what to expect. But I'm just going to ask you to relax and believe God, that God wants to touch your heart and your mind today. He wants to build you up. He wants to give you a new life. You know, He paid it all. You know, as the singers were saying this morning, He paid it all. Whatever sins that you and I have done up until this point, He died for those sins, and He wants to give you new life. And if you're an old believer in Christ, He paid the price for the sins that we commit now. If you're new and you're young or somewhere in between, God has paid the price for all of your sins. God wants to redeem you. God wants to bring you back to Himself. This morning, you know, you don't have to live another day living your life in the darkness, but He wants to build you up. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you that new life that He died for. See, Jesus died for all of you. He gave His life. He suffered a brutal death that you and I could have life and life eternal. And are you recording, Mary? Okay. Sorry, I'm kind of rusty at this sometimes. I don't give them the high signs and all that when to turn the recording on. But nevertheless, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, He's my Lord and Savior. He's who I believe. Christ has been in my life for 40-plus years now. And I remember the day of my salvation. And I remember what happened to my life that caused me. I was aggravated. I was frustrated young man. I didn't really know where I was going, really didn't have a direction, really didn't have a purpose in life. And that day that Jesus Christ came into my heart and He became Lord and Savior of my life, it was like somebody had turned on a faucet. I cried. He touched my heart and I cried and I wept bitterly because of what He did with me. You know, and I've never forgotten that today. Even though I fail and even though you will fail, God always loves us and He always cares for us and He always gives us an opportunity to come back to Him and to be restored. So today I'd like to talk about the mind of Christ. And sometimes we wonder why we struggle so much in life. And I did a search on the mind of Christ. And it's not a perfect search, but it's a search nonetheless. But I wanted to talk to you about the human mind, that thing that's up here between our two ears, that's right at the top of our head, that gray matter. Sometimes there's stuff there, and sometimes there's not stuff there, depending on where we're at that day. But I said the human mind is a marvelous creation that consists of approximately 100 billion neutrons. It's the central command center for the human body. You know, like the mainframe of a computer, everything goes back to the mainframe and it's distributed from there. Well, our mind is the same way. Every bit of information that we take in, everything that we experience in our life, everything that we touch in our life, you know, we have the ability to retain that. And it said, the brain weighs about 3 or 4 pounds and consists of gray matter. There's a front lobe, a mid lobe, and a rear lobe. And it said, the average person thinks about 48 thoughts per minute. So as soon as you wake up in the morning or even when you're sleeping, your mind is always going. It's always thinking. It's always planning. Some of you can't sleep at night. Your mind is racing and you wonder why you're not getting a good night's sleep. Okay, 48 thoughts per minute. So you get up in the morning, you think, well, what am I going to do today? What am I going to have for supper? Where am I going to work? What am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? So your mind is all over the place. Okay? And it said, we think 48 thoughts per minute, 70,000 thoughts per week. 70,000 thoughts. What's in your mind? What's going through your mind with all these thoughts? You know, I mean, you can think good, you can think evil, you can do whatever you want with all these thoughts, but your mind is continually moving, okay? God's trying to get in there, he's trying to speak to you, but we're racing with all these problems. We've got children problems, we've got job problems, we've got business problems, we've got family problems, we've got our own problems, we've got wife problems. We deal with all those things. We have husband problems. I don't want to leave them out. God forbid I leave the husband problems out, right? But see, we all have those problems in our life. And it's like the unregenerated mind. How do you control that? How do you stop those thoughts from coming in? How do you quiet yourself long enough to say, man, that's crazy. I don't want to think these things. And I'm not going into all the things that you could think of, but you already know. You already know the things that goes through your mind every day. Some are good things, some are okay things, some are bad things, and some are really crazy, nuts stuff. Right? Is that true? Come on, let's be honest with each other. I took somebody out yesterday. They went on a hunting trip, and I took them out, and I fell asleep. I was waiting for them to come out of the woods, and I fell asleep. And I'm sitting in the woods, and I had this dream, and all of a sudden, I'm going to the lake in my car, in my truck, and I'm going towards this lake, and I'm thinking, like, well, I got to hit the brakes. And I'm trying to pick my feet up to hit the brakes, and I can't pick my feet up. And I said, well, I'll put it in park, and I'm trying to reach the gear shift to put it in park. And all of a sudden, I woke up. I never hit the brakes. I never got it in park. But the mind takes crazy things, and it creates scenarios in our hearts and our minds that really can confuse us and really mess us up. You know, look at the world situation we're in today. You know, do you think that if people had the mind of Christ, we would be going through what we go through today? No. But it says, after 70 thoughts per week, think about this, 25,550,000 thoughts per year. 25 million plus these thoughts. It's unreal. Now, we got some people that don't have any thoughts. And there's nobody here that doesn't have any. You know, I'm not talking to anybody here. But some people just have a few thoughts. Other people have crazy, weird thoughts and dreams and ideas. But it said, after 25 million thoughts, it says the brain speaks and controls all the functions of the body. To name it a few that it controls our eyes, our blood flow, our body movement, stores millions and bits of information. What we hear, taste, touch, smell, and see. And you know yourself, how many of you have ever been driving down a road and all of a sudden you have a song or a thought comes into your mind, and it takes you right back to your youth, right back to the day that it was a good time for you, it was a good place. And sometimes maybe it's not a good place. Sometimes it's a bad place, and you don't even want to be there. You know, but how many times? Or you get a song in your head, and you constantly sing it over and over again. You're like, get this thing out of my head. I can't, you know, I got to think about something else. But it continues to play. So our mind has recorded all this information from the time we're born until the time we die, and we can draw on that. So we see that the mind is like a powerful computer. It stores millions and millions and billions of tiny bits of information in our lives that we can draw from. And if we deprive the brain from oxygen for 3 to 4 minutes, it would cause serious damage to the brain's main functions, memory loss, loss of motor skills, and system shutdown. When we suffer from a heart attack or we stop breathing for any reason, we must start CPR as soon as possible to keep blood and oxygen circulating until medical attention arrives. If the brain doesn't receive oxygen in 4 minutes or longer, it's almost certain that permanent brain damage or coma or death will come. That's a result of it, you know? And so when you wonder why you struggle in your life sometimes, when things are not going right, sometimes things don't go right with your children, sometimes things don't go right with your job or your families or your friendships with other people, think about all the things that you and I will go through in life and think about how we're dealing with these situations. You know, do you try to deal with it from a natural mind to where you really don't have the Spirit of Christ to draw from? Or do you think with it with the mind of Christ? You know, and that's the main topic of today. But I wanted you to understand you are being bombarded daily with thoughts. And the way to overcome those thoughts is with the Word of God, your instruction manual. And if you don't take this instruction manual and you don't read your Bible on a daily basis, you're not going to know how to overcome these thoughts and these actions and these places that you go. So it takes the Word of God. It takes Jesus Christ being alive in our hearts and in our spirits to get control over that. And in Psalm 139:14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul know right well. We are fearfully made, each one of us. Each one of you have a great value to God. Everyone that's in this place, you have a great value to God. Whether you're saved or not saved, you are of great value to God. And God wants to take your life and He wants to change your heart and He wants to change your mind and He wants you to bring you into that attitude towards Him to where you can honestly say, hey, I believe in Christ. I want Him to be my Lord and my Savior. And I'm going to talk about that a lot today because it's so important. Because if we have Jesus, we have everything. If we don't have Christ, we have nothing. And if we die in that state without Jesus Christ, our end is not a good place to be. You know, and whether you want to acknowledge that or believe it or not, it's not a place to be. So naturally, if you're here and you don't know Christ or you're kind of on the edge, you know, and you're teetering back and forth, should I believe in God or shouldn't I believe in God? I'm telling you profoundly, you should believe in God because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to Him but through the Father. And that's why we're in church today. We came to hear the good news. We came to hear about Jesus Christ. We came to hear about Him and Him crucified. And that's what He did on you. He took your rap for you. Everything that you did in your life, everything that you sit and you are ashamed of that you would never want anybody to know, He knows. See, somebody ratted you out when you came through the door today. Somebody told God all about you. How's that? You want to talk about that a little bit? You want to bring it to light? You want to bring it to and put it up on the video camera? I don't think so. I don't think anyone would agree to that, and I don't think God would ever do that. God doesn't embarrass anyone. But you know what? He wants to bring us to a point of salvation. He wants to bring us to a point of life and peace and health and prosperity and living a good, clean life and being able to share with confidence the Jesus Christ, the hope of glory that lives in us with other people. And it says, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. And I know after 40-some years of being born again, I know that if you ask me, I could tell you that I'm not perfect. I've never been perfect, never will be perfect. But I'm telling you what, in Jesus Christ, He doesn't see my sins anymore. He loves me. He died for those sins and He buried them at the cross. He buried them at the cross. See, that's a great deal. What he did for you on the cross determines your life now from beginning until end. So you can die with him at the cross or you can live to the old man in death. So it's your choice. And in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give an expecting end." You see, it says, "For I know thy thoughts." He knows all about your thoughts. He knows all the good thoughts, and he knows all the bad thoughts. He knows everything. And he says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." And see, even when you were in sin, even when you're a despicable person, he knew your thoughts. He knew what you were like. But yet he's given you an opportunity to come to him. He's given you an opportunity to change your life from this moment to the next moment. And you know what? It's as simple as this. You're right here, and you take a step, and you're in God's kingdom. But it's all up to you. You have to allow him to come in. And he says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." He's got an expected end for each one of us in this place today. He knows your end. He knows your end if you follow him, if you trust him, you give him your heart and your life and your mind. He knows that. And he knows that if you don't do that, he knows you're expected in there. And you don't want to be at that expected end in that place. But I'm telling you, God is desperately seeking to get your attention. I don't care if you're young or if you're old or you're in the middle. I don't care if you're rich or poor or tall or skinny or whatever. I don't care what it is. See, God wants your attention. He wants you as an individual. See, when God looks at me, when I stand before Jesus Christ, I'm going to account for my life, for what I've done in my life. Not you. You're not going to give an account for me. I'm going to give an account for me. And whether I did good or bad, I'll get that accounting. And now I'm going to turn it to you. The same thing is with you. Every one of you will give an account to Jesus Christ, whether you lived for him or you didn't. In Ephesians 4:23-26, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Amen? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's given you the way. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And how do you do that? You read the instruction manual. You read the book. See, he didn't give this just so people could get into controversy over it. He gave us this Bible so that you and I would read it and devour it and seek his face and hunger and thirst after his righteousness so that he could fill us up. He could fill our hearts and our minds with good things and life and peace and confidence and good friendships like we have here. You know, he didn't just die so it was a religious thing to do. He died because he wanted to give us a way out. And he gave that way out to you and I through the blood of Jesus. And you're going to hear a lot about the name of Jesus Christ today because Jesus Christ is everything. He's everything. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's in the middle. He's all about you and I, and he wants to touch your life. You know, if you're here and you're struggling in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit, take it to Jesus Christ. He says, "Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you." I don't want you to try to figure it out. We all walk around and we try to fix everything and we try to create different scenarios. We try to heal relationships. We try to do all these things. And the Bible says, no. He says, "Cast all your cares upon me because I love you." And he says, "I'll show you the way." He said, "If you will humble yourself and get on your knees and pray, I will seek God's face." He said, "I will answer you." Amen? He wants to do good for you. He wants to lift you up. He doesn't want you walking around bummed out in a stupor and being sad and depressed because things are not going right. He wants you to live that life of godliness and peace and health and prosperity. That's the nature of God. He said in Psalms 23, he said, "On earth as it is in heaven, do you think there's any sickness, disease, poverty? You think there's any of that stuff in heaven? No. It's not in heaven. It never will be in heaven. It's only here. And the only a lot of times the only reason it's here is because we allow it. We don't trust Him with His Word. We don't trust Him with His life. You know, we don't trust Him in our day-to-day business practices. We don't trust Him with the things that are going on around us. We don't trust Him with our families and with our businesses that we're in. We don't trust Him. But see, when you turn to Jesus Christ, He can make all things new. And I'm not saying that everybody does that. I'm saying there's people I know in here that do practice that. There's people here that do want to run a godly business and live a godly life. It's not everybody, so I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm just saying this is for everyone that will grasp it and grab a hold of it and take it and say, Jesus, this is mine. Jesus, You're mine. Jesus, Your life is for me. Jesus, Your peace is for me. Jesus, Your healing is for me. Jesus, my marriage can be restored through the blood of Jesus. See, my life can be turned around because of the name of Jesus Christ. We seek Him and we serve Him. See, if we do that all the days of our life, our end is sweet and it's peaceful. And it says, be not renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Man, oh man. Put on the new man. See, if you're trusting in your old man, if you're trusting in that thing that you've always done over and over and over and over and over again, you're going to get the same result over and over and over and over again. He said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And you know, people, I try my best to do this every day. I miss it, just like a lot of you miss it. But I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God is there for everybody. It's truth, it's peace, it's life, it's health. And he says, wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. See, we're members one of another in here. So we're to speak truth to one another. We're to speak truth in life. What do we have in common? Jesus. That's our common denominator. That's what makes us all one, because He loves us and He cares for us. And He's taken, I was sharing with a buddy of mine, and I remember I was in Israel in 1991, and we were in praise and worship over the Sea of Galilee, in a hotel over the Sea of Galilee. And there was a man, as we were singing and praising God, there was an old man out on the balcony, and he heard what we were doing. And I'll never forget it to this day. This guy was old and weathered and beat, and you could see death all over this guy. But he come up and he heard the singing, and somebody come in and told us that he was out there. So a few of us men and Reverend Scott went out there and started ministering salvation to this man. And right there on the balcony overlooking the Dead Sea, this man received Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what, people, he went from a weathered, death-looking person to a life that was filled with hope. See, God changed his countenance. It wasn't perfect, but you could see it. It changed him from the inside out, and that's what God wants to do with you. He changes you from the inside out. Everything that's going on in your life, he changes in here, and see, it will manifest on the outward. Is that true? Amen. It is true. He wants to change you every day. And you want it to change? It says, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Don't lie. Speak every man truth. You know, sometimes we want to tell that little white lie and we think that's okay, right? I have. I mean, I can't answer for you, but I have. And it says, speak every man truth. And for we are members of one another. And it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, if you're angry and you can't get over it, if you've got a problem in your life that, you know, keeps eating you and keeps eating at you and keeps, you know, gnawing at you, and you know there's a situation and you can't fix it. You know, I've got a situation like that. I can't fix it. Only God can. But we have to bring it to the foot of the cross. We have to bring it to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, this is way too big for me. I can't handle it. I can't handle all the things that they're going through. I can't stand the drama and all the things that are going on. I've done it with my own son, and not to embarrass my son, but I've done it with him. I've had to put him at the foot of the cross because he just won't listen to reason. You know, how many people you know just won't listen to reason? Is it because of us? Or is it because of them? I don't know. I can't answer that. But we have to put our place. We have to put it in a place to where we can say, if it's them, then we know how to pray. If it's us, we know what we need to do to change. See, we got to change it. Nobody can change it from the outside, but only you can. Only you. You know, the Word of God doesn't just hit certain people. The Word of God speaks truth in life, and it speaks truth in life to everyone that's involved. So no matter what your situation or where you're at, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, financial, whatever realm that you're in, take it to God. See, he's the great I am. He's the one that can he's the great fixer. You know, he can fix it way better than we can. And in Hebrews 4:12, it said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Maury talked about body, soul, and spirit last week. You know, and only the spirit that's redeemed and regenerated will be in heaven with God. And it said, and the joints and the marrow, it said, well, let me read it again. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. See, God knows your heart. See, I don't know your heart. You can come up here, you could stand right here and look at my face, and you could be lying to me. I don't know your heart. See, you can lie to me, and I'll go, oh, that's great, and that's nice, and all this. But then there's a time you wouldn't want to do that. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to God, and boom, they dropped dead. But I'm talking about just you and I as individuals. Speak truth with every man. Be honest. Be faithful. You know, give your heart of service to God, and he will lift you up. If you're struggling financially, become a servant. You know, that's what my wife and I did. When we came back from Utah, we had lost everything. We lost our jobs. We lost everything that we owned. And I tried everything that I knew that I could do. And we kept going and kept going, and nothing was working. And finally, I just began to serve. I didn't ask for money. I didn't do any of that stuff. I just served. I was glad I had a place to come and to serve. What about you? Are you looking for a place to serve? Are you looking for a place to bow yourself and humble yourself before the mighty God? Are you looking for that? And I know some of you do. But you have to do that. You have to bring it to God. You have to lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ. And, you know, and in this mind that we've been talking about, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, and this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not this. See, you can't have an enemy, and you can't go after your enemy and beat him up with your fist. See, that's not how you do it. That's self that's self-worship. That's self-satisfaction, gratification. We can't do that. He says,
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do we do that? We pray. And we show kindness. And we be those people of God that He called us to be. That's how we do it. And it says, and that's just a light scenario. But it says, casting down imaginations. How many of you have imaginations? How many have imaginations that are good, and how many have imaginations that are not so good? Okay, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are you bringing your thought life into the obedience of Jesus Christ? Or are you just saying, oh, just tell me whatever you want to tell me and I'll just listen and I'll just be your master? Is that what you're doing? Or are you bringing them into Christ? Are you corralling them and saying, God, I can't think like that? See, the devil came at Jesus too. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus told the devil. The devil told him to take stones and turn them to bread. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. So the devil comes at him, and he'll come at you and I. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is filled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to that he is Christ, let him also think of him, of this again, that as he is Christ, so are we Christ. And you know, are you Christ on the earth? You're not the Christ. Jesus lives within you and I. So if he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. So we're seeing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So now when people look at us, are they seeing Jesus Christ? Or are they seeing something other than that? And are they seeing something that would make us want to come to church? You know, that's what we have to ask ourselves. It's not just about coming in here and shouting and hallelujah and singing a few songs. It's about people. It's about all the people that God loves and He wants to bring into salvation before He comes back. And you know who He called? You. He called you to do it. Not just anybody. He says, I've called you. I've given you life. I've given you salvation. I've given you the tools. I've given you the scripture. I've given you the ways to bring people to life. Now, you either use them or lose them, right? This is the phrase, use them or lose them. Okay? If you don't hide the word of God in your heart, you can't solve anything. You know? You'll still be trying to figure it out. And I'm going to close with this scripture. And it said, in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor either entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knoweth man, what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God no man knoweth but the Spirit. See, you here, if you're not born again, you will never understand the Spirit of God, the spiritual things, because your heart is not towards God. And that's not a slam against you, it's a fact, that's the word. But it says, let me get my place here. It says, the things of God knoweth no man but by the Spirit. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, He wants you to know them. He wants you to use them. You know, He talks about the weapons of our warfare. And He said, you know, in Ephesians 6:10, you know, take the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, all of these things. And if you get a chance, read Ephesians 6:10. It tells us all the tools that's available to us. But God has always got our back. And when you read Ephesians 6:10, through the end of the chapter. Always know that God has your back everywhere. Everywhere. He's not just making something up. He says, I got your back. I'm behind you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. And I said, which things also we speak, not the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But here, I want to end with this. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. And worship team, would you come up, please? And as they're coming up, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And this last part, it just blows my mind, and it says, in verse 15, it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you really have the mind of Christ today? Is his nature, is his love in you? See, when I think about the mind of Christ, I think about everything that's perfect and good and right. I don't think about all the garbage, you know. I think about, what is his mind like? There's healing. There's deliverance. There's peace. There's joy. There's strength. There's hope. You know, he's my Redeemer. I live because my Redeemer liveth. Amen? What about you this morning? Do you live because your Redeemer lives? You know, if you were to walk out of here, and this is not a tactic, it's the truth. I'm just, you know, guys, I'm trying to be honest with you. If your life would end today, where would you go? Would you go to be with Jesus Christ in heaven? Or would you die in your sins and go to hell? And I just got to be as honest as I can. Where would you go? You know, only you can answer that. Maybe you've come in here and you think, well, that's a bunch of hooey-fooey and hogwash and it's not for me. And if that's so, that's okay. But it's your choice. See, God always gives a choice. He always gives a person a way out. And see, he's given you a way out with that. But if you're here today and you know that you're living in sin, you know that you've sinned before God, and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be Lord and Savior of your life, today's the day to do it. Today's to end all the questioning. Today's the day to really know who and why you were designed, who Jesus Christ and why he came for you. And so I present that. And I don't care if you're young or old. If there's anybody in here that wants to receive Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand? All heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there anybody in here that would like to receive Jesus Christ? Anybody? Okay, again, you know, if this was your last day on earth, where would you end up? You know, that's what you have to ask yourself in all honesty. And only you can answer that. And so is there anybody? You know, don't be afraid. We're not against you. We're for you. Okay, so I want to talk to another group of people. If you're here and you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, and you know that you haven't been living right for him, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. You know, it just takes a moment. Okay, I see your hand. Anybody else? You know, you want to make it a settled issue with God this day. Okay, I see your hand. Okay. In just a minute, I'm going to invite you up to say a prayer, and we'll have some other men pray with us and some other men and women, and we'll go from there. But last chance, anybody else, if you want to receive Jesus Christ, come forward now. Raise your hand, come forward. This is not a joke, people. This is your life. Amen? So you can never say again you've never had an opportunity to hear the Word of God. And if you're embarrassed and you don't want to come up in front of people, come and see me after. I'll be glad to talk to you after. Amen?
So praise God. I want to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise for the opportunity to share today. I hope this message meant something to you. I hope it reached you. And, you know, and if you need prayer for anything else, if you need prayer for healing or just a touch from God, I'm going to ask you to come forward in Jesus Christ's name. So is anybody? You want to come up? Come up now. Anybody need a touch from God? Okay. All right. Thank you. Praise God.